Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Coming up, going to be speaking to Rob Hutchinson. He's the managing director at Dear South Africa. Finding out why are Dear South Africa and AfriForum challenging the new COVID regulations. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Oh, fantastically well. Cannot complain at all. How are you doing?
Yeah, I've been complaining since 6 o'clock about a flagpole.
I've heard so.
100-meter flagpole, but it is glow in the dark. And I imagine that that paint is very expensive, which is why it's going to be costing $22 million. Rob, on to other things. Why is Dear South Africa and AfriForum challenging the new COVID regulations?
Very simple, Kath. We don't believe that they are justified at this time, and we don't believe that the country should be sitting under permanent restrictive COVID regulations. You know, these regulations were introduced as a temporary measure underneath the Disaster Management Act. And the Disaster Management Act is only supposed to be introduced when there is actually a disaster. And fair enough, there was one. We didn't know the full details or the extent of that disaster at the time, but we took the precautionary measures and rightfully introduced a temporary piece of legislation. Underneath that legislation is HAL's regulations. Regulations determine how that law or piece of legislation is enacted, enforced, and the nitty-gritty behind it. And the Disaster Management Act was introduced for 21 days at first, and then extended by 3 months, as it's allowed to be, and then on a 30-day basis after review every month. And that is how it's supposed to be. However, moving regulations underneath the National Health Act, which is a permanent piece of legislation, makes those regulations permanent and constantly enforceable. And the danger around that is, Kathy, it is quite significant, because what will happen is that the minister has now the right to declare anything a pandemic or an endemic or anything as a serious communicable disease, and without any oversight, without any advice or anything other than the minister's own discretion. That's a dangerous place to be, given that some of these regulations are extremely, extremely restrictive and really in contravention of the constitution.
So which are the most problematic regulations?
Definitely the forced isolation measures, and where if the minister, you get tested for anything, and we know that there's lots of evidence or scientific evidence around the validity of the PCR tests. They can pick up anything, and it's very difficult to determine what they actually pick up. But if they pick up something, then the minister can force you into an isolation, force you to undergo the measures, and force you to go have tests or and your body to be exposed to different testing without your consent. And that is, in our opinion, beyond the reach of what this law is supposed to be.
What are the chances that that they're going to actually change it, do you think?
I think quite high. I think they will actually change it, or maybe we'll meet halfway in between. Look, our argument is that underneath the Health Act, these regulations are overbearing. But we're not saying that the minister doesn't have the right to reintroduce the Disaster Management Act as a temporary measure should things escalate in any way, of course, with parliamentary oversight. But we're hoping that they will meet us halfway, and then we can come to an amicable solution that suits both government and civil society.
Rob Hutchinson, what else do we need to know and be aware of in South Africa as you see it?
Oh, there's a lot going on right now. You know, there's so many amendments to laws and bills that are happening right now, and they all seem to be encroaching on civil liberties and civil rights. You've mentioned quite a few there already this morning, notes of concern, and that is that we don't have much choice when it comes to say where our tax money goes, and there's a lot of laws that actually allow government to do that, and a lot of amendments that are in place right now. Those all need to be addressed through public participation. The public obviously has a right to have a say on on such laws, and we encourage the public to do so. If government doesn't listen, then we have a right as participants in that to take government to court and set the matters right. But there are definitely quite a few laws that are open for question here. And to be honest, it does seem that the government is clamping down on society, and it does indicate the signs of a desperate government.
Yeah, it's very worrying, especially when, you know, I remember, I think that government likes to introduce red herrings that take our attention away from what's really happening. And I think that is a strategy and a tactic that they do employ from time to time. And maybe that's what this 22 million rand glow-in-the-dark flagpole is all about, is that it takes our eye off the ball and it creates a conversation around that rather and how ridiculous it is, rather than what bills are being pushed through Parliament.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, as you just pointed out in your intro there, is that it does seem to be rather questionable, and 22 million rand or 50 million rand to Cuba is suddenly revealed that it's over 300 million rand that's actually going through. And I can definitely say that the 22 million rand is just a drop in the bucket here. If you go into the details of that 22 million rand, you see 5 million rand was paid for a environmental impact assessment report.
I didn't realize they were so expensive.
Yeah, which is insane. How do you pay 5 million rand for an environmental impact assessment report to erect a 100-meter flagpole? That's absolutely ridiculous. But I think we need to definitely keep an eye on what's actually going on here. Take hold government to task on this. It's absolutely ridiculous. As you rightly pointed out, it's our tax money at the end of the day. And we, as citizens paying their tax money, should be entitled to choose where that money goes. And it is our right to make sure the government spends it responsibly. There's a lot of areas where money should be spent and money needs to be spent. And quite frankly, spending it on a flagpole or giving it away to another country, it doesn't make any sense in anyone's book.
How about this? How about this as an idea? Instead of giving Cuba the 350 million plus the 50 million, right? In total, it's about 400 million, even though they're two separate things. Fair enough. Let's send them the flagpole and keep the money.
Brilliant.
Just saying.
I think we should definitely do that.
And I was asking listeners, where do you think the government should erect the flag, you know, this flag? And somebody actually said, where the sun don't shine. Which would be very useful because it is glow in the dark. So, you know.
It will certainly wipe out a few matters that we have at hand.
Oh my gosh, Rob Hutchinson, thank you so much for the chat, and just be well. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. God have bless. A wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. Cheers. That's Rob Hutchinson. He's the managing director of Dear South Africa.